Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back, a fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast for the love of the Sox, hosted by Nick Borowski and Pat Hester.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back. This is a fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast doing it for the love of the Sox. I am Nick Morawski, and welcome to episode 81. I'm going to bring in my co-host in just a moment. Thank you so much for following us once again. You can find this podcast everywhere you find your podcasts. Subscribe, and every new episode comes into that inbox. You can also check us out on ShyCitySports.com, a great Chicago-centric podcast source and website over there. They got all different kinds of great Chicago sports stuff, Bears and Bulls podcasts. You can find our Chicago White Sox podcast there, too. They're a great Twitter follow as well for everything Chicago sports. Pat Hester, come on in. Welcome to episode 81, sir.
Hey, buddy. It's good to see you. And we're broadcasting today live from the Hoth planet. So those of you that are Star Wars fans know what I'm talking about. And we are in an ice ball. So it's awesome to be here.
God, I want to get that reference so bad, but I have no... I have no Star Wars in me. I hate to admit it because I know I think I'm in the minority. But it sounds like a cool reference. And
other people will get it, Nick. Other people, will.
Right? I'm sure they will. I'm really bad with that, but I know that I got my lanes. You know, I've got my Batman, my superhero lane. I can't do the Star Wars stuff. That's fine though.
Well, life is, you still got a lot of life ahead of you, my man.
That's
get
true.
That.
I hope.
There's only thousands and thousands of hours of content, movies, shows,
that's true.
Comics, yeah. Books that you can fill the rest of your days with.
Yeah. And the way things are trending in this world, we just might be still hunkered down for, forever. Anyway, we've got some good Sox stuff to get into. We've got some baseball stuff to get into. And then you and I are going to. We're going to get to know each other a little bit better as Sox fans with a little quiz we have for one another. And we'll kind of get into that in a little bit. And I highly suggest that this is played with folks that are listening, their family, coworkers, friends, other Sox fans. Kind of reintroduce yourself to them as games hopefully will be on our TV very soon. And you're going to be getting together with those folks, we hope, as the world gets better. Enjoying Sox content visually, audibly, and we'll get into our little quiz in a bit. So, Pat, last time we talked, some of the bigger names out there had not been signed, and we also heard some jockeying between the union and Major League Baseball about what the season was going to look like, and it sure sounds like that 154. A potential season has been shot down. It will be 162, and things seem to be on for a start date of April 1st, spring training, pitchers and catchers reporting like around, Valentine's Day. We saw images of the Sox vans and trucks being loaded up yesterday. So it that's reassuring. But you and I have talked, would you have been okay with 154 or switching perhaps, a month delay to maybe a May 1st?
Nick, I'd have been fine with it, to be honest with you. My stance on it. Not the biggest fan of April games and the rain and the cold and the, four or five people in the stands. And not that there would be anyway this year, but in normal years. So I've always been an advocate of just lopping off some games in the beginning just because of the weather. And you get – there's plenty of baseball to be consumed throughout the entire spring and summer and hopefully for us this year – into the fall and in the late fall. And to me, you lose some of those games in the beginning. It doesn't really make that much difference, but I'll take the 162. I'm not saying it's got to be done, but if they would have come back and said, hey, we're starting May 1st. Okay. I'm good with that. It's better than it was last year. And we get some more games and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, the reality is no one's going to be able to get into games in April anyway. I mean, that's just how it feels right now. Mm-hmm. It feels like maybe this summer, maybe June, July. I don't know. I sure hope it's earlier, but I have not heard anything, read anything from Lightfoot or Pritzker or from anybody in this local camp that has given me some positive feelings. But boy, you and I, and I know a lot of folks listening, have sat through those April games, and they are brutal. Yeah. The thing about April games, though, to just kind of, you know, you could talk weather with them, but they mean just as much, you know, as games sometimes in September. You know, if you could win those early games and you could scratch some of those off, it'll help when you have those doldrums and those slumps in midsummer, because you've got out in the gate quickly, and there's a lot of divisional games in the first month of the season. It just is rough playing in snow and horrible temps, and you're playing a lot of division games, which means you're in the Midwest, in Detroit and in Cleveland, and now in Minnesota. They're outdoors and have been for a little while. It's rough.
Yeah, and that's why, again, they are all important, because you look at the end of the year, Nick, and maybe you win the division by a game, or you lose the division by a game, and you look at the ones early on that you kind of let slip through your fingers, that, you know, they count just as much. So yeah. I'm with you. They're all important. But again, if the entire league would move to a 154 or, you know, 140s, sign me up for that. I'm good with it.
It's exciting, and that's why we talked months ago when the schedule came out, why it's so cool to have the Sox in L.A. to start the season. That never happens.
No.
We are never in a warm climate. We're in Kansas City, or, you know, we're home, and it's just miserable, and there's a lot of makeup dates. I mean, the home opener for the Sox right now is April 8th, so it's not like it's going to be any better, but at least you get a sense that the Sox can get out of the gate consistently and not have a lot of cancellations at the beginning. It'll be a shock to the system coming to Chicago after being in Arizona, then L.A. But, you know, we'll figure that out. But, yeah, I think that's why, you know, you cannot even imagine, I think, the algorithms and things that go into putting a schedule together and how to start off, you know, teams. You know, the Sox can't have more, you know, home games or away games, I'm sorry, in warmer climates at the beginning of the year. And, well, that means those wet, warm weather teams, you know, Rangers, Angels, Oakland, what have you, if they have a lot of home games at the beginning of the season, that means in the summer when kids are out of school, they're going to have to balance and have more away games. So their local fan base won't be able to see them regularly. You know what I'm saying? It's a real mess.
Yeah, and it used to be, if I remember correctly, it used to be like a husband and wife. They used to put together. Yeah. And now I think they've replaced them with a computer, if I'm not mistaken. So they've become so obsolete, cool. Or maybe so they've cool. –
We have this thing called a computer that actually we don't need you and your brains anymore, your pencils and your pads, your legal pads. We've got a computer that can do all that. I don't know if you heard about this.
Maude, Frank, you guys stay home. Yep. We don't need you this year. We're done. We've evolved.
So a couple moves have started to be made, and you're seeing, you know, there's still a lot of names out there, but the big boys the last few days, Bauer and Ozuna, have now found spots. This Bauer situation was absolutely hilarious. You got a sense maybe when following all of this since the offseason that, you know, he might have interest in coming to the Sox, and after the Sox did what they did with some of the you know, bullpen and starting pitching addition, and of course having Grandal and our Hall of Fame baseball person manager, it sounded like Bauer's camp was excited to potentially play for the Sox, and they were engaging. They wanted the Sox to get to engage to drive up the price for Bauer. Bauer marketed himself like nobody else this offseason. Really gross that it sounded like he did some kind of LeBron-like decision to make his announcement yesterday, but not surprising from everything we've seen from him. and his self-promotion and his YouTube channel. But how about that Bob Nightingale, Pat?
My buddy, Bad News Bob. If Bob Nightingale comes on my Twitter feed, it's like, oh, geez, Louise. I wouldn't want him as a family member, a friend, a neighbor. I don't even know why I follow him on Twitter, because every time I see him, it's bad news. And I was talking about this with somebody else yesterday, and I said, what if that had happened to the Sox? What if Bob Nightingale came on and said, you know, before anybody else, he wants to be the first to show that power to the Mets. What if he said power to the Sox? And then it's like you get everybody's juices going and we're all excited, because Bob Nightingale doesn't miss on things that are Sox related. He gets all of those correct. So you're thinking, it's coming from Bob. And then a couple hours later, it's Bauer to the Dodgers. Could you imagine the upheaval? I mean, the pitchforks and the flames and everybody. Yeah. Twitter, White Sox Twitter would have broke. It would have just broke.
I mean, I'm telling you, you would have seen on the front page of the USA Today the next day, just, Bob Nightingale gone missing, fear that a Sox angry mob has taken him to parts unknown. I mean, for folks who don't, who aren't on social media a lot, and that's great. Let me catch you up to speed. So yesterday, the afternoon, Bob Nightingale tweets that, It's almost finalized. Bauer's going to the Mets, which was kind of what we were hearing for a couple days. And then, not too long after that, we hear that Bauer has signed with the Dodgers. And, the Mets have had an interesting offseason, positive and negative, especially with their owner lately. Mm-hmm. And they've had some successes. I don't feel bad for them at all. But boy, if that you're right. If that would have happened to us, that would have really been a dagger.
Well, I could see what would happen with you and I. We would have got on recorded that night and then had to re-record again the next day, because we'd have to.
That's
say
true.
Everything that we said last night, getting our hopes up, and now we're because we've followed the almighty Bob.
Yeah. So if Bauer got some crazy money from the Dodgers, who are no stranger to throwing crazy money around. And the Dodgers are competing with the Padres in that division, pitching-wise, at least. The other big name that dropped, and Bauer would, you and I both talked, that's not happening. It mm-hmm. could happen for the Sox, but it's not going to happen. And I don't want to go down a whole, the whole Jerry thing too much. You just have to kind of let it go at this point. The Ozuna situation, that's more frustrating, because that's doable money. When you when you look at his contract, where he re-signed with the Braves yesterday, what was it, like 15 a year or something? It might have escalated or gone up throughout his four-year deal with an option for a fifth. That's doable. I mean, did we have a solid spot for him? The old adage is, well, you make room for talent, right? You gobble up good talent. You find where you're going to – he makes the offense better. I don't know defensively, but he makes the offense better.
I'm sorry. To me, Nick, you could have played that guy 90% of the games. You could have played him the majority of the time as a DH.
Yeah.
You could have filled in. I talked about last time, you need to give Aloy a break, or maybe not that Ozuna is not a upgrade in left field, but he's an upgrade from Eloy. So if you need a defensive replacement, you put a defensive replacement out there and you have to mix and match some things. And Eaton obviously has had an affinity to get himself hurt. So you give yourself a little insurance there. And then Eaton's on a one-year deal. He's out of here after next year anyway. You have like a more steady – a steadier situation with a maybe right field DH situation. And then you got, but it just seems to me like the Sox have decided we're not going to spend any money on this guy, because they must be, and rightfully so, Andrew Vaughn must be really showing them they've decided that they've got it. What do we need to spend money on? We've got this kid and he's ready to rock and roll. So I will concede to their knowledge and what they see on an everyday basis, or as much as they can see basis. And they just think that this guy's the cat's meow, and here we go.
Mm. So let me, we're going to talk about Vaughn here, and this is from Chris Getz, and it's, let me read this quote that was in NBC Sports Chicago website earlier this week, and based on what we've seen with Andrew Vaughn since he's been part of the organization, and I anticipate he's going to carry that same approach that has made him successful, not only as an amateur, but throughout his time here. I would imagine with the amount of success that he's had, and he probably will in spring training, that he'll be in position to be that DH or be on the major league club, says Chris Getz. He's ready to help this team. He's called an advanced hitter. That's subjective. I mean, you have to think about, well, who's calling him an advanced hitter, because we don't have any Major League Baseball stats to prove that. He has never taken an at-bat at the major league level. He had no minor league time this past summer because of the pandemic. Yeah, he was a force in college, but, you know, so was maybe Fulmer. You know, I mean, there's been other prospects in recent Sox history that have been forces in college that have won, that have been successful, and it didn't translate. But the fact that they're putting everything on this guy, you know, DH was a focus, according to Rick Hahn. It was a focus. They were going to go out and get a DH. We heard it last year. It didn't work. We heard it this past. And then to just say, you know what? Yeah, I think the stuff we're seeing in the cages from Vaughn, man, he's got a swing. Wow, he is tearing up that machine. I joke, but I know that there's, you know, other live hitting going on in the offseason by these guys. They're putting the work in. I know they're at different facilities in Arizona. They're putting in the work. Is that enough, though? Can you really look at that and say, yeah, on this championship potential team, yeah, that's the guy we're going to start?
If the number – what was Robert rated in MLB Pipeline at one point? He was the number one or number two prospect, or maybe number three, whatever he was, depending on what you looked at. And he had to go through the steps. And now you let this guy who hasn't gone through any steps, and you've just anointed him already? I mean, the best – prospect we've ever had to go through a minor league, you know, and he had time hitting in a professional league in Cuba, and you're telling me this kid out of college is all of a sudden ready to go? It just goes against everything they've always said, where, okay, you got to get X amount of at bats at this level, X amount of at bats at this level.
And you're now right.
they've just decided, oh, we've seen enough. Okay. What happened to your process that you have? I don't understand it. But you know what? I'm hoping for the best. I'm not rooting against the kid. I'm excited to see him play. I'm just
curious. A lot of pressure though, Pat. Yeah. I mean, look at we talked last week about Gordon Beckham and some of these other guys that, you know what? It's not to their fault. It's the media. It's us as fans. It's us as, you know, everybody that builds these guys up and anticipates them to be the next great thing, and they are the savior for whatever position we need. And the, you know, it's unfortunate. I just feel bad for the guy right now. Is, man, you're going to get murdered in Sox media if you do not perform right away. And it's not fair.
Yeah. And I agree with that, but you know, that it also makes me believe, after saying all that with their normal process that they go through, it makes me believe they're still in the market for a DH. You've got guys like a Puig and a Cespedes, not the cousin or brother of the other Cespedes that we've got. You know, there's guys out there that are still, you know, and they're not going to be eye popping the big money guys, but they're going to be an Edwin Encarnacion type of signing, and I hope you catch lightning in a bottle type of guy. Yeah. That's what I feel like is coming next, is that level of free agent 1 year deal DH. See if we can catch something here and give them some time, because I can't believe that they would go against everything that they've always stood for in terms of their development.
Yeah, a guy that they've got a development plan for is Garrett Crochet, and Getz went on to talk about this. My man, Vinny Duber, had an article on NBC Sports Chicago this past week saying, "This is for Crochet." You know, they see Crochet as a multi-inning reliever in 2021 and ideally a part of the Major League starting rotation beginning in 2022. And that got me obviously thinking, as I know a lot of people have, the comp with Chris Sale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I pulled up just some basic numbers just to kind of jog the memory of Chris Sale. Drafted in 2010, he had 11 games in the minors that year. So, and I remember that. We drafted him. He had just a short stint in the minors, and he had 21 games up with the bigs, 23 innings. And that was in relief. You know, I remember him just in spot issues, kind of like how they used Crochet this past abbreviated season. And then for Sale in 2011, still out of the bullpen, 71 innings. He did not start a single game in 2011. And then comes 2012, which was the breakout, man. They got him into the starting rotation. He threw 192 innings, started 29 games, was 17-8 with a 3.05 ERA. That is lightning in the bottle. I don't know if you're going to get a repeat trajectory like that out of Crochet, but that's what they want, obviously. And is that how you is that what you would like to see for Crochet as a fan? Is not an electric reliever, but more of a starter?
I think eventually down the road, I think that's the way where it's trending. You know, I like the path they've got him on, and the Sox have proven to be able to develop pitching. That's the one organization that they've been able to be, you know, very strong in. They've used some of their pitching to flip on, not that they've always worked, but to be able to use in trades and things like that. So I trust their system as far as pitching goes. I like the, you know, if you're going to put this year equivalent to the 2011 Chris Sale year, where he's going to come in 71 innings pitched, I'm good with that. And you're telling me you're going to get a little bit of a taste. Let him stretch his arm out. Let him get acclimated to the league a little bit more, because it's going to be like they always talk about. It's the let's make the adjustment. The league will eventually make an adjustment to you. And eventually you're going to get hit. Yes. You're not going to have your stuff. How do you recover from that? So
absolutely,
I am good with that. And so that way you look at a 2022 as a starting pitcher, and and you got a guy that's cost controlled and maybe a star on your hands. So I'm good with it. And you know, well, maybe we'll talk about this later. I think the angst about going back to the Bauer situation, the angst about not, you know, maybe people have about not paying for your paying for pitchers and things like that. I think this organization values the guys that they develop. And I think they will find a way to sign guys like they did with Sale and give them the security. I think they'll look to do that with a Giolito eventually, even though that hasn't happened yet. I believe that'll happen. Yeah. So they may not go outside of the organization and pay top dollar, but I think they will work on long-term security type situations for their own guys. So that gives me a lot of promise for guys like a Crochet, you know, that's young, that he's going to look at his career maybe and say, you know what, I'm here. I've got, I can have some success. I'll take maybe less than I could get on the open market eventually someday and sign here long-term and get the security, because God knows what'll happen to my arm.
Yeah. Yeah. And the arm is critical. You know, when he turns into a starter next season, if that's the plan and everything goes accordingly, he's not going to be throwing, you know, 100 miles an hour consistently throughout the game. That's going to change going from a reliever. He's going to have to learn how to pitch, as we always talk about. And Sale had to figure that out and had some rough patches where hey, guess what? These hitters can sit on your fastball. You can't just always blow it past them. You have to mix and match. And Sale got really good just because of his God-given ability with that nasty slider. I mean, his arm angle and everything, which is almost – you just can't duplicate it. But Crochet kind of has – if you were going to find anybody in an organization since Sale, I mean, Crochet's the guy, obviously, to have something similar. So, that is an interesting development this season to watch how he is used and his health because, man – if that's the plan to get him in the rotation 2022, he could be a force, a lefty force for sure.
Well, I like what you said there. He's got to learn how to pitch. And I think what a lot of those power pitchers want to do, a Justin Verlander or Chris Sale, is I know I can throw at 100 if I want to, but I'm going to save it for the right point in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get to this sixth inning and you need it. You need a punch out. All right, this is where I'm going to dial it up because I haven't thrown it all game. You only have so many of those throws in the tank. And those veteran pitchers know when to go to that pitch when they need it.
Yeah. A couple so here's some guys that are going to be, helping us out catch. We've got Grandel. We've got
Hey, we need someone to help coach my kids' little league team. Can you help out today?
This is kind of how this is developing, this whole catching situation here. We've got Grandel, and we love him. I mean, what a great signing last offseason. That's the guy that we want. He's going to pick it up this year. I've got full confidence. He is the guy. He knows he's the guy. McCann's not nipping at him. He's going to be fine. We got Zach Collins, which, you know, somewhat I am not sold at all on Zach Collins. I hope that I am wrong. I hope and pray that I am wrong, but I don't see anything worth that guy. He needs a lot of at-bats still. He has been shortchanged, but from what I saw, you know, hopefully he's made some adjustments. Sox go out and they sign a backup catcher this past week, Jonathan LaCroix, which is nothing to write home about. His numbers are pretty bland. He's a veteran. He's been around forever, a journeyman, really. He's really going to be a competitor in spring training because I'm looking at these other guys that they have briefly, you know, Mercedes, Zavala. Mercedes has got one game, one at bat under his belt in the big league level. Sebi Zavala's got 5 games, 12 at bats under his belt. That backup catcher position, Pat, I think is critical this day and age in Major League Baseball. And the Sox bring in this guy, Jerry Nairn. I don't know if you heard this. I caught it a couple days ago. He's going to be a catching instructor, which I think is kind of interesting. La Russa's bringing this guy in to help with framing and help catchers, you know, which is such a critical part of the game right now. And I think those are some interesting moves. And I think that's good to have more competition in spring training. The LaCroix thing doesn't do anything for me, though. I don't know how you felt.
It really doesn't. It's he's on a minor league deal, if I understood it correctly. Yeah, so it's just a guy they brought in. I think what they really want to have happen is Zach Collins take that job. Show in spring training that it's his job and take it. I have a feeling we're going to be watching a lot of Sunday afternoon games with Zach Collins behind the dish. That's how I feel about it.
Zach Collins in the 83s? Oh, boy.
That's going to be your Sunday special after day game, after a night game type of situation. Give our guy Yaz a little bit of a break. And here you go. You get a little Zach Collins to go 0 for 3 with a couple pop-ups.
Again, that's another thread to follow this spring training is the development of Zach Collins. And I've read a lot, and I'm sure a lot of folks have heard that his progression and with defense is improved. He's trending in the right direction. But man, he's got to show me some stuff offensively because that was the big selling point is we've got left-handed power from a catcher, and he might not always be a catcher. He could be a DH. He could be a first baseman potentially. Yeah. But if you don't hit, there's no place for you on the field. Like that was the thing we were bringing you in for, not because of your defense.
Yeah. And you look back at a guy like a James McCann, he was a late bloomer in terms of a catcher. He wasn't, it wasn't like he was,
He
worked at it. So there's still an opportunity for Zach Collins, but I think, you know, at some point, it might not be with this team anymore. He might have his opportunity and show his skill with somebody else because I think it's almost like he's running out of chances, I think, with this ball club. I think this will be a telltale year for Zach Collins.
Yeah. So, folks, we Pat and I developed a Sox quiz for each other here, and I highly recommend that you do this with some coworkers, family, friends. Could be this weekend, could be in the near future, because right now more places are opening up, your local taverns, different restaurants. Folks are starting to kind of crawl out of their homes, and hopefully that happens a little bit more often in our city and surrounding state and country. And you might need to get reacclimated with some of these Sox fans that you're surrounding yourself with, or new Sox fans. Maybe you got a neighbor that just moved in, or maybe you meet some new folks at your local watering hole, and you're trying to learn, well, what kind of Sox fan are you? How big of a Sox fan are you? Or what are some unique things about you? You might have to reintroduce yourself to each other. It's been a while. So Pat and I have known each other for a long time, over 20 years. But there's stuff about him in terms of his Sox fandom that I have no idea about, and the other way around. So I've got some questions, Pat. Okay. These are difficult. I'm just telling you. I'm kind of going to be disappointed if you go under 50%, but I wouldn't be surprised. Are you ready? Should I go first and quiz you?
I think you should go first. I just how many questions do you have? I want to make sure.
I got 10.
I got 10 as well. So okay, you go first. Ask me all 10, and then okay. I'll see how well I do. Okay. And keep track of the
score.
Yeah, I'm excited to answer these. Hopefully, you know, my questions are all things that I've either said or you should know about me.
Okay.
But mine are not easy. So okay. I'll be interested to see who wins. And we got a cup of coffee on this game. So
yeah, oh, sure. Yeah.
Big stakes. Yeah. You know, I know you're a Starbucks guy. So, you know, with mine as a Dunkin', you might have to get me a donut as well to even out the cost.
Sure.
Because I'll be spending $20 on a cup of coffee for you.
Just a black cup of coffee from Starbucks is not that bad. And I got so many damn gift cards. That's why I have to go to Starbucks. we're going to go through these. And, you know, we got a lot of new listeners, too, that are coming in through the ShyCitySports.com world. So they're trying to figure out who are these knuckleheads talking Sox here on this podcast. And folks that have been with us from the beginning, this might be news to you as well here. So, okay, here we go, Pat. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. What now former Sox bench coach threw me a batting practice ball when I was in Toronto to see the Sox play?
Former White Sox batting practice coach, or
it was a bench coach. It was a coach.
Former bench coach. I'll have to just guess Joey Cora.
You are wrong. Mark Parent. You remember Mark Parent?
I do remember Mark Parent.
Parent. I'm yelling Mark Parent. Yelling his name in Toronto. Throw me a ball. I am well over the age that I should be getting a batting practice ball, but he was nice enough to lob it over to me, and shortly after was released from the team, I think. So Mark Parent,
for that act,
in Toronto. All right. Going with that theme, I have traveled with a lot of folks over the years to go see the Sox play in different stadiums. I've been doing this for a long, long time. Try not to repeat. I try to go to different stadiums. How many different stadiums, Pat, have I been to see the Sox play? We're not counting like, you know, Comiskey, Guaranteed. We're not counting Sox Park. How many different stadiums?
All right. Well, I'm for the sake of you know, not having some dead air here, I won't try and count them in my head. I'm just going to guess a number.
Sure.
That I'm going to say it is 12.
Wow. 18.
Wow.
18. Gosh. Yeah.
Over two.
I know. I told you these were difficult. I've been to 18 different stadiums seeing the Sox. So again, these kind of thread. What stadium did I get removed from due to being inebriated?
Fenway Park. Fenway Park.
I went to Boston, and the first game was a rain delay, and I was at Cask and Flagons, which boy will just get you into trouble. And I was well overserved, and was a little too vocal trying to get into the game with my Sox gear on. And I got in and was removed for being inebriated. But the next night I went back and was able to see the Sox get pounded by the Red Sox. So that was
well,
great.
Good. That's good. And so I'd say enough. It's the bar's fault. Cask and flagons. And
it's always the bar's fault.
It's their fault.
And that yep. seems like forever ago, but that happened. All right. What season did I become a season ticket holder, Pat? What season was okay. my first season as a season ticket holder?
So let's see. This is, was I want to say it was the 2017 season.
Wow, good job, Pat. You got yes. it. Yeah, nice. Yes. Nice work. The first year of the Ricky Renteria regime. I was all in on Ricky. And, boy, he sold me. He sold it to me on Sox at Sox Fest. Boy. all right. I'm not a big autograph person. I have some autographs because just you're being at the right place at the wrong time. But I don't seek a lot out. So these are a couple autograph questions. I have one autograph from a Sox Hall of Famer. Who is it?
You have one autograph from a Sox Hall of Famer. Well, I know you're not a big, you're not, well, it's not like you dislike him, but you're not like a Frank Thomas fan like I am.
Right.
So let's think here, but I'll go with Frank because that's the only thing I can think of right now, unless it's Carl. Well, I'll go with Frank Thomas.
Wrong. It's actually Harold Baines. Harold Baines. Man. Yeah, I was at I got some really good tickets once, just so happened to be where he was also like in a booth signing autographs randomly with photos, and it just happened to work out. I did see Frank Thomas, though, at a bar in Chicago years ago, and he was leaving like a private room with his, I don't know, family, girlfriend, wife, whatever it was. And I yell to him while I'm sitting at the bar. I yell, "Hey, what's going on, Frank?" And he turns and gives me a wave. And my wife sitting next to me goes, "Oh, is that somebody you know from improv?"
Because when I look at Frank Thomas, 6'6" tall, big mountain of a man, that's what all improv people look like.
And I go, no, that's Frank Thomas. It's all right. You don't know that. That's fine. This was early in our marriage. Anyway.
That's a good story. I like that.
Okay. So. You're probably going to get this one. Again, I'm not a big autograph fan, but I do have one signed jersey that I have framed here in my little Sox basement. Who has signed? What jersey do I have signed?
I think it's – is it Canerico?
It is. It's a Paul yes. Canerico jersey. All right. That's the only autograph jersey I've got. All right. You're so-so. All right. I've got okay. a few more here. how many times have I gone to spring training to see the Sox?
I think this is less than than maybe one would anticipate. I'm gonna say three times.
Oh man, two. I've only been twice. Ah. I've only gone twice. Yeah, one to the older facility in Arizona, and one recently to Glendale. I know that's under what I would like. It just hasn't kind of worked out. Yep. But yeah, only twice. All right. What year did I attend my first Sox game?
What year did
you might not even you're just gonna Sox you're game. Just gonna have to guess on this one.
I'm gonna say you were born in 1980. I'm gonna say your dad probably took you when you were. I'll say 1984.
Ooh, 85, summer of 85. My first game at. The great old Comiskey Park.
All right. Well, I'm close on these. I'm not doing terrible. Yeah. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to give you the score in a moment here. how many playoff games have I attended? How many playoff games have I attended? Sox playoff games.
Well, there haven't been many. And
that's true.
So that keeps the number
that's
low.
That's true.
I'm going to say you – I'm going to guess that you went to one in 2000. I'm going to say possibly one in 93. I'm going to say three.
One. I went in 2005 to the first game, the first ALDS game against Boston,
where
they just
killed
them. It just absolutely killed them. That was my only. I had tickets in 2000. If they would have got past the Mariners, I had tickets for the next round, and I had to get redeemed. That was my only playoff experience. Again, I hopefully do better than that in the future. My last question, aside from 2 years, Pat, and I collect a lot of Sox stuff, as I know a lot of people listening probably do too. Aside from 2 years, I have collected one of these from every season since 1980.
Bobblehead.
Oh, media guides. Media guides, Pat. I know. I got a crazy media guide collection. Why I still hold on to them, I have no idea, but I've got one from every season since 1980, except for 2 years I missed out on. All right, let me tell you up here, Pat. Let's just do the ones that you got right. You got three correct. You got three correct. That's a 30%.
But that means I had seven wrong. Thank you for counting that up. All right.
Those are tough, Pat.
Well, here we go. Here's my questions to you, my friend. After knowing me for 20 years, and we met as Sox fans, and it was like stepbrothers. And you're a Sox fan. Man. I'm a Sox fan. Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Bingo.
Okay.
Yep.
Here we go. All right. Where was I when Mark Burley threw his perfect game?
Where were you when Burley threw his perfect game? You were at the bowling alley.
Oh, that! Think about it, Nick. What year did I get married? I was on my honeymoon in Hawaii.
Oh, my God. I just, from those years, I just think you were always at the bowling alley.
You were close, though.
Yeah,
it was close.
I feel like bowling alley is always a good bet from some of those. Okay.
Okay. All right. I've said this, I believe, on this show, and I think I've told you in person a couple times. Uh-huh. What is my biggest regret about Game 4 of the 2005 World Series?
Oh, you did not watch it with your father.
That's right. You got that one right. Very good. Yeah. Good job. Good listening. That's one for you. Yeah. This one I've said on the air as well, so you should know this. If I could change one thing about the Sox uniforms or home uniforms, what would it be?
It would be to remove the pinstripes.
You are a good listener. Good job. You have two.
You just want the white on white.
I just want the white on white. Yeah. Okay, this is another easy one. So this should tie it up, and the next ones are going to get somewhat harder, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But we'll see.
All right.
What is my favorite fruit at Comiskey Park?
Well, it's you like the kosher's best with grilled onions.
You are picking them up and knocking them down now.
Nice. Yeah.
So,
well, you do this. You used to do this for tailgates. You made your own grilled onions and everything. They're fabulous.
Oh, we'll do a secret recipe show one day for tailgating. I'll give my chili recipe out too. All right, here we go. Yeah, this one, and you're going to win. We're going to do the rest of them just for, you know, what's and giggles. But which is the which gate is the best gate to go in at the ballpark?
Gate 3.
Oh, you're so close. It's gate 2, Nick. Gate 2 is the best one to go in. It's my favorite place to park. Okay, here's a good one. And this one is a little bit tougher, but I think I've told you this story before, okay? So at the I played in the Bo Jackson charity golf outing years ago.
Bo came
around to every hole and would hit a drive for all the foursomes that played in the outing. Who was Bo Jackson riding in the golf cart with?
Who was wasn't it Jermaine Dye?
Oh, it was not Jermaine Dye. It was Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis, I did not hear that story.
Wow. Oh, I can't. Well, now
you didn't get Ray Lewis's autograph.
He sat in the golf cart with the glasses on, and he looked like an angry person.
he did not want to be there.
No, not happy about it. Mm. Next one. So you're still tied with me, but here we go. This one, we'll see how you do here. You should know this one. During the game in which I hosted a bar group on a bus trip, I believe you attended with me. Sure. What was the name of the bar? What was the name of the bar the bar group left me at the ballpark and you had to drive me home? What was the name of the bar we had to drive back to?
Oh, my goodness. It was in Lockport, wasn't it?
Mm, yeah.
Oh, boy. It doesn't exist anymore. Well, it's under a different name, I think.
It's now called Coombs Corner, I believe.
Yeah,
like, what was
that's
it then?
Right. Oh, man, I don't know. I really don't. Oh, I know. I can picture it in my mind. I don't know what it was. I don't remember what it was called back then.
It was Fat Sam's.
That's right. The Lockport location, not the old Orland Park location. Yeah.
Where they used to have 10-cent wings. We used to go to that Orland Park one and on Monday Night Football.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right. Oh, good God. I've hit a cold streak here. Man.
This one's going to be tough, too. But before Game 2 of the World Series, I went to a Bears game. Who did the Bears play?
Before Game 2 of the World Series, you went to a Bears game. The Bears played – well, I'm going to go division. The Bears played the Lions.
Oh, you didn't think outside the box, and it weaves back into question 6. They were playing the Ravens that day.
You had a busy schedule that day.
I did. Well, my dad and I took the train back that day. It was a very, obviously, as you remember, very cold, rainy day. And we had to listen to the first inning and a half on the radio on the train because it was taking a while to get back to my parents' house.
Wow. I tell you what.
All right. Here's the one. This is multiple choice. All right. So which Sox player have I not met in person? Here's your options. Right. AJ Pierzynski, Scotty Pods, Frank Thomas, or Robin Ventura.
I know you've met AJ Pierzynski in person. I despite your love for Frank Thomas, I don't think you ever met him. I'll say Frank Thomas.
That is incorrect. I've never met Robin Ventura. I met AJ. I played golf with AJ last year.
Yeah, I remember that.
I met Scotty Pods at the Burkott's golf outing 2 years ago. And Frank Thomas I met at Picnic in the Park years ago.
Yeah,
and he did not play that game because he had a bum shoulder. He was in a sling. But
was that the year David Wells was giving him hell?
I think that could have been. I think it could have been. All right, last one. You need this one.
Man.
This one for the win. All right. Now, this goes back to a stadium question. So another one, which have I not done? Which stadium have I not watched the Sox play a game at? Was it Kauffman Stadium, Comerica Park, Miller Park, Busch Stadium, Target Field, or Angel Stadium?
You have not seen them in Comerica Park.
For the win. For the win, you got it. Well
done.
Yes,
I knew that one. That's not a bad stadium. I had a bad experience there, but that's not a bad stadium.
Can we do a show about all the bad experiences you've had at stadiums?
You know what? That would
America.
As the season gets closer, I would love to unpack some of the stories that have happened at some of these cities and stadiums. Oh my God! And my track record for seeing the Sox. It's been loss after loss after loss. In my 18 stadiums, you know, countless games, I've seen maybe 3 wins, and it's just been brutal. But, you know, we should then, if you haven't been to Comerica, I'm due for another trip. You and I should go, and we'll do a show from Detroit.
All right.
If we can get out of this world and travel. Well, it's clear that you and I have no idea about each other in terms of some of the deeper Soxdom. So I'm glad we did this because now I feel like, I've got a better insight into you. And your love for Ray Lewis and the Ravens and the connection that it has in your life.
As they came together, these questions, I thought that's a very Ray Lewis heavy questions for a Sox fan, but
did you get a
what
photo with Frank Thomas or an autograph?
I did get a photo with Frank Thomas. I have it somewhere in this house, and someday I'll share that with you.
I did meet Robin Ventura once, and it was on the same Toronto trip where Mark Parent threw me a batting practice ball. We found out through some other Sox fans that we met at the stadium where the Sox hotel usually is in Seattle. So we went to the lobby bar after the game, and sure enough, Robin Ventura was down at a table with Mark Parent, who clearly didn't remember that he threw me a ball, and I tried to let him know. But and then there was a couple other guys down there. And I, after Ventura was about to leave, I just went up and said, "What are you doing, sir? Why are you? Why do you have this job?" No, I just shook his hand and said, "Hey, it's nice to meet you." But that interesting stuff, man. Those are some tough questions.
I'm surprised that Robin Ventura needed a hotel room. Didn't he just have a hammock in the dugout that he was slept in for most of the games?
It was gifted to him from Jerry Manuel. It just was in a clubhouse somewhere. They had that, yeah, in the back room somewhere.
They pass it along. It's almost like the president leaves, writes a note to the incumbent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is for you. Yeah. This is the
note. Ozzie, they offered it to Ozzie, and he's like, "No way, no way, mine. I'm not using that." Well, this was informative, and folks, hopefully, you take some of these questions. You can develop your own quiz for family, coworkers, friends. Get to know your Sox cohorts a little bit better than you thought you did, because we are hoping, with some of the news that came out this past week, that the season does start on time, safely, of course. We've got a spring training. Hopefully some games are televised. And by April 1st, we are locked in to this 2021 team. Pat, I think we should probably start wrapping up and saying goodbye. It's been always a pleasure, sir, talking Sox with you on some of these bitter cold days.
Yeah, it's it warms the innards of my soul, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk to you today again. And hopefully, we keep getting great content coming out from the White Sox and news to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, thank you so much once again. Of course, you can find this podcast anywhere you find your podcast, but also check us out on ShyCitySports.com. They've got some great Chicago-centric content over there. Great other Chicago podcasts, and spread the word on this podcast to other Sox fans that might not know about it. We appreciate that. You can find us on Twitter at GoodGuysTB. Find us on Facebook. We are everywhere we need to be. For Pat Hester, I am Nick Morawski. Until next time.